Hello, welcome to your daily briefing.
February the 3rd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this new day where we can continue to study that which is happening around us and see the total and absolute fulfillment of your word. We ask that you would give us the strength to be ready so that we might prepare each day for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to read for you an article that is found in the World Health Organization website. It has to do with the diseases that are spreading all over the world today. But before I read that, I'd like to read a quote for you from Councils on Health. The name of that book again, Councils on Health, page 461 and paragraph 1. It says this: while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he, Satan, will bring disease and disaster upon populous cities until they are reduced to ruin and desolation. Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and feedeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Now that's Councils on Health, page 461, beginning at paragraph 1. Now, the article I'd like to refer you to today is found in the World Health Organization website, and it was published on the 23rd of August, 2007. Now, notice this is not 2020, but rather 2007. The title of the article is International Spread of Disease Threatens Public Health Security. The title again: International Spread of Disease Threatens Public Health Security. And then there's a subtext to that which says, the World Health Report 2007 focuses on building a safer future. All right, here's the article. More than at any other previous time in history, global public health security depends on international cooperation and the willingness of all countries to act effectively in tackling new and emerging threats. That is a clear message of this year's World Health Report, entitled A Safer Future, Global Public Health in the 21st Century, which concludes with six key recommendations to secure the highest level of global public health security. Now, these are the six: full implementation of the revised international health regulations by all countries. The next, global cooperation in surveillance and outbreak alert and response. The next one, open sharing of knowledge, technologies, and materials, including viruses and other laboratory samples necessary to optimize security and global public health. The next one, global responsibility for capacity building within the public health infrastructure of all countries. The next one, cross-sector collaboration within governments, and finally, increased global and national resources for training, surveillance, laboratory capacity, response networks, and prevention campaigns. In our increasingly interconnected world, new diseases are emerging at an unprecedented rate, often with the ability to cross borders rapidly and spread. In 1967, at least 39 new pathogens had been identified, including HIV, Ebola, and SARS. Other centuries, old threats such as pandemic influenza, malaria, and tuberculosis continue to pose a threat to health through a combination of mutations, rising resistance to antimicrobial medicines, and weak health systems. Given today's universal vulnerability to these threats, better security calls for global solidarity, says Dr. Margaret Chan, Director General of the WHO. The new watchwords are diplomacy, cooperation, transparency, and preparedness. The need for global solidarity is especially clear in the response to outbreaks of infectious diseases. This month, HWO has been closely involved in the response to an outbreak of Marburg fever in Uganda. Together with partners in the Global Outbreak Alert and Response Network, including the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Medicine Sans Frontiers, the Uganda Virus Research Institute, and African Field Epidemiology Networks and local NGOs, WHO is supporting the Ministry of Health to strengthen active surveillance, contact tracing, infection control, and logistics, and social mobilization in an effort to contain the outbreaks. So you notice all of these organizations in different parts of the world are coming together with a hope that they will be able to suppress or to prevent these rising problems, these infections, but they seem to be increasing in spite of all of the efforts that have already been made. Notice what I read in a higher paragraph. The sentence says, in our increasingly interconnected world, new diseases are emerging at an unprecedented rate. Continuing. The team is carefully studying conditions surrounding the initial transmission in the hope of improving understanding of where the viruses reside in nature and how they pass to humans, improving the ability to predict and prevent outbreaks in the future. The World Health Organization and its partners are closely involved in the global response to the avian influenza, which has caused huge outbreaks in poultry and at least 308 human deaths since it was first isolated in humans in 1997. So notice now they're discovering that a lot of these illnesses are moving from the animals to the humans and from the humans back to the animals, etc. Continuing. This World Health Report traces the history of efforts to contain infectious diseases, including the plague, cholera, and smallpox. It describes the evolution of outbreaks and the surveillance and response necessary of the international partnerships of agencies and technical institutions. These include the Climate and Environmental Health Incident Alert Organizations and Response Systems and the global initiatives that are necessary to restrain the spread of these illnesses. The report shows how and why diseases are increasingly threatening global public health security. High and rapid mobility of people is one factor. Airlines now carry more than 2 billion passengers a year, enabling people and the diseases that travel with them to pass from one country to another in a matter of hours. The potential health and economic impact was seen in 2003 with SARS, which cost Asian countries an estimated $60 billion, that's with a B, U.S. dollars of gross expenditure and business losses. The report outlines some of the human factors behind public health insecurity, including inadequate investment in public health resulting from a false sense of security in the absence of infectious disease outbreaks. Next, an unexpected policy change, such as a decision temporarily to halt immunization in conflict situations. And next, the kind of conflict situations which force migration and obliges people to live in overcrowded, unhygienic, and impoverished conditions, heightening the risk of epidemics. It also includes microbial pollution and antibiotic resistance, and animal husbandry and food processing that threatens such forms as the human and the bovine spongiform, and all kinds of other elements of society. Pandemic influenza is described as the most feared threat to health security in our times. The report sets out by the World Health Organization's Strategic Action Plan to respond to a pandemic draws attention to the need for stronger health systems and for continued vigilance in managing the risks and consequences of the international spread of polio and the newly emerging strains of extensively drug-resistant elements of illness that seem to pass from nation to nation. Now, of course, if you notice what they're saying here is that they're having some difficulties, because it would appear as soon as they have found the solution to one challenge, it migrates itself, it changes, morphs into something else, and then they have to find another way to deal with it. Continuing, the revised international health regulations of 2005 are based on the premise that no country can fully protect its citizens in isolation or through traditional border controls. Now, let me read that sentence for you again, because this is incredibly important. The revised international health regulations of 2005 are based on the premise that no country can fully protect its citizens in isolation or through traditional border controls. The 2005 report is a set of rules that governs how countries should assess and report to the World Health Organization public health emergencies of potential international concerns. The broad definitions of public health risk or disease or event ensure that risks caused by the accidental or international release of pathogens or chemical or radionuclear materials are covered by the regulations. Since the 2005 regulation entered into force, almost all of the 193 World Health Organization member states have established their national focal points, with 179 designations. Since then, World Health Organization has been receiving alerts of health events on a regular basis, conducting joint risk assessments with the notifying states, and sharing real-time information with other member states. So that's the end of that article, that first article, and of course it's found in the World Health Organization website, International Spread of Disease Threatens Public Health Security. And what they're not saying in this particular article is the fact that they are really having some serious challenges, even when they are able to handle some of the spread of one particular disease, they find themselves limited in that area, but they find that also that disease tends to morph into something else, and they find themselves unable to handle the entire spread, which is not only restricted to the one disease, but the spread of varied diseases, and many of them are very, very new. Perhaps I should read a sentence from that quote I read at the beginning, found in Councils on Health, page 461 and paragraph 1. Listen to this. Talking of Satan, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. There's another article I'd like to share with you today, and it's found in the Contagion Life website. It was published on January the 23rd in the year 2019. The writer of this article is Michael Fleming. That's Michael Fleming, F-L-E-M-I-N-G. And the title of the article is Infectious Diseases Dominate World Health Organization's List of 2019 Health Threats. Let me read that title again for you. Infectious diseases dominate the World Health Organization's list of 2019 health threats. Here's that article. While the world is facing many public health threats, the World Health Organization has compiled a list of the top 10 threats to global health to focus on in 2019. Now, I'm going to go through this list with you. Not going to be able to read all of what they have here side by side, but let's take a look at what they are. First, it says the list contains a number of serious issues for climate change to adequately health care facilities. Unsurprisingly, more than half of the list is made up of infectious diseases, both emerging and historical. So it means that there are some that are still moving, still emerging, still spreading. All right. Number one, global influenza pandemic. As flu season settles in across the world, many clinicians and patients are questioning just how severe the strain will be this season. The World Health Organization acknowledges that another flu pandemic is unavoidable, but the severity and time are unknown. The World Health Organization continues to recommend receiving the influenza vaccine each season and continues to monitor antiviral treatment throughout the world. In August of 2018, the U.S. Centers for the Disease Control and Prevention, they found that they indicated that the vaccination options for the current flu season included the intrinsically administrative live attenuated influenza vaccine. And some of these vaccines did not actually do what they were supposed to do. In the latest contagion and flu update featuring mid-season estimates from the World Health Organization, it was reported that there have been approximately 7 million influenza infections in the U.S. thus far, resulted in an estimated 84,000 hospitalizations. So in other words, all of these people who have been receiving some of these vaccinations are still susceptible to some of the illnesses. And it also says here that further, of the 4,416 respiratory specimens that tested positive for influenza in public health and clinical laboratories around the country, that country being the United States of America, 97.1% were identified as influenza A and 2.5% were influenza B. Influenza A is currently the most predominant subtype. So in spite of all of what they're doing, they're still fighting a battle, and they have not yet won that battle. The second illness that is very prevalent is something called the antimicrobial resistance. Antimicrobial resistance. Unlike the looming influenza pandemic, antibiotic resistance is happening, and it's happening now. As the World Health Organization points out, resistance to some of the illnesses, resistance to some of the drugs, the most effective first-line antibiotic for tuberculosis, occurred in approximately 600,000 cases in 2017. Of those cases, approximately 82% were resistant to multiple treatment options. So in other words, in this particular area, there is developing in the human being a kind of resistance to the antibiotics that are being used and hopefully would turn these illnesses around. Number three, Ebola and high threat pathogens, including disease X. Ebola is back in the mainstream news of the North Kivu outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In the current outbreak, the threat of insecurity and violence has impacted the whole response to the disease, with CDC health workers being removed from the outbreak zone to prevent any exposure concerns. So now you've got Ebola rising again and some of the health workers being removed because they don't want to give the health workers the illness itself. And then there is the vaccine hesitancy. Vaccine hesitancy is something that made Contagion's own list of infectious disease concerns to follow in 2019. The growing hesitancy to vaccinate children is a threat that could lead to the reemergence of infectious diseases that were previously eliminated in the United States. Measles is notably making a comeback in the United States, despite the fact that the disease was considered eliminated in the year 2000. State health officials are currently monitoring measles outbreaks in New York, New Jersey, and Washington State. And what they're saying is that some of the parents are hesitating to vaccinate their children, and that's one of the problems that they're facing. The next element that they have here is dengue, and you know dengue fever. Dengue, a mosquito-borne viral infection, is a leading cause of illness and death in the tropics and subtropics, affecting up to 400 million people annually, according to the CDC. And then HIV. HIV, many advancements have been made in the field of HIV since the virus was first recognized. Some of these achievements include the introduction of antiretroviral therapy, which when taken daily can suppress HIV to levels that are undetectable while preventing sexual transmission of the virus. Now notice, it talks about depressing it and suppressing the HIV. It does not refer here to completely removing it. What we have here, my brother, my sister, is a description of a spread, continual spread, of all of these diseases, and some of which people thought we were rid of, but apparently there is this continued enlightenment and spread. And I want you to understand that the reason why that is so is because this is not something that can be controlled. Can be controlled by nature. But as the Council on Health, page 461 in paragraph 1 says, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Now we have been warned that these things will occur, and our entire safety will be found in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Today I'm pleading with you to turn your life over to Him, so that He might be your protector. And He might be the one who keeps you above and beyond all of the threats of the enemy until His Son returns. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have warned us in advance of all of what is happening around us now. We ask that You would accept us with humility. We've come with humility, asking for forgiveness. Our attitudes are repentant, and we're asking that You would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, both physical and spiritual, so that we might walk according to Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 3rd, 2020.